the Philippines, part two of two. You'll need to listen to part one for this podcast to make sense. The story so far. After getting stuck in Manila for a few days too long, Pete and I hit the road. Pete is my friend from England. He came out to meet me and we rented motorbikes. Well, mopeds. Motorbike and moped. And we headed north in a quest to find a beach, which, frankly, as you'll remember from part one, was a bit crap at times. Many floods and lots of fumes later. We finally found ourselves on a beach and checked into some little huts surrounded by jungle. It was gorgeous. The place was owned by a curious couple, an English guy and his Filipino wife. And it was magic, just magic, to sit at the bar after a very long day riding through lots and lots of rain and floods and storms and traffic, to then be in a little slice of paradise. And there we were, sitting at the bar, chatting to... I started chatting to the English guy and his Filipino wife. They owned the place. It was a chance to learn about the Philippines. I love trying to find out about expats. I've always been fascinated why so many people choose to leave their home and go somewhere completely different, where they seem to find themselves. Was this the case? Well, let's find out. There was off and on rain over excellent background music, but I'm going to play you the audio of what happened in that bar, all right? So if you can, just to recap, picture the scene. Me and my buddy Pete had a hard few days on motorbikes getting out of Manila, finally find ourselves in a lovely beach resort. It's late, it's dark, we're wet, we have a quick shower, not together, and we sit at the bar. Actually, I sit at the bar first. Pete, you'll notice, joins us a little way into the conversation. So, I hope that's enough. You're about to hear a good chunk of the conversation that happened for probably about half an hour, actually. I'm going to play you, and then we'll skip to some other stuff. But hopefully that'll do you. So, let's get into it. This is the Philippines Part 2. Here's me and Pete sat in a bar. This is how it went.
I love a beer, please.
The other one is Peter.
Very good, I'm impressed. Good memory.
Well, I'm impressed with myself as well. SML or SMB?
Have you got any of the...
Beer in a beer?
The light one.
Yeah, light. Yeah. SML.
SML, easy.
Is Darry, after Darry not here either? Fuck me. No stuff today.
Oh. But you're not fully booked at the minute, are you?
No. They never tell you when they're gonna fucking be, when they're not gonna be here, you know what I mean? We've got three staff supposed to be here right now. Including the cook.
Thank you.
And the cook's not here. So I'll ask them not to do the cooking. She can do it. They never tell you, you know what I mean?
No phone call, no text?
Nothing.
So what happens when tomorrow you say, hey cook, where were you?
Oh, they just fucking go. But if you shout at them too much, they just quit. They do. Because if they lose face, that's fucking it. Don't matter if they've got no money, if they're living in a mud hut, if you fucking piss them off and they lose, they think they've lost face, they'll quit. Whether they need the money or not.
Huh. Prideful people?
Yeah. Keeping good staff, it's a fucking nightmare. And they'll never tell you. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
They'll never tell you when they're not coming in. And then they might have 2 days off and then they'll come back like it, nothing's happened.
I presume you've told them that you should tell me when you're not coming.
Yeah.
I feel for you, man. Pete owns a bar in London and he has a fucking nightmare with staff as well.
Yeah. You think you owe them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you're doing, are you on holiday?
Yeah. Came for a bit of an adventure, rented motorbikes in Manila and then rode here.
Where did you hire them in Manila?
Yeah, down in the centre, rent to...
What are they called?
Rent to ride.
Oh, I didn't know they were renting them out in Manila. We used to rent them out in AC, in Angeles City.
Yeah.
Nice bikes, back in the day. They still do rent the bikes out. We used to rent them out from there.
All right. It's a relatively new place, some Americans running it. The bikes are good, the safety gear's not great, but...
You know. What is it?
Kawasaki 400.
Which one?
Can't remember. It's got an X in it.
couldn't have a look at it.
ZX, I think, is that a thing?
Used to be.
It's quite nice. It's got no rack, so my bag's tied on the back and it keeps moving forward.
Picked a bit of a cunty time to come to ride bikes, fucking typhoons. Got one coming in after this one.
Great. Keep bringing them on. Love them on a bike with jeans on.
Well, at least you're fucking warm.
Yeah, you that's true. I mean? Yeah.
And as soon as the sun does come out, you're dry in fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah, that is true.
I used to be banging to my bikes before I had an accident and I don't ride no more.
Wait, you quit altogether, did you?
Well, I had to, I fucking had it. Well, I didn't have to, she won't let me have another bike.
Was this here in the Philippines?
Here in the Philippines, yeah. I used to all my life. I raced them for a while when I lived in Spain.
Okay. And you didn't have a big accident doing that?
Well, everyone's going the same way. There's no fucking trees or fucking trees or walls or cars. Everyone's going the same way. There's plenty of fucking runoff. Yeah. Plenty of kitty litter to fucking go into. Very rarely hurt yourself. Very rarely. You break a few bones every now and again, but you're very, very unlucky if you fucking do something really serious.
Yeah. Did you have those metal caps?
No.
No.
Well, I had sliders.
Did you get your knee down?
Yeah, all the time.
Did you?
Yeah.
I've never done that.
If you're not getting your knee down, you're not fucking... Well, they're getting the fucking shoulders down now, aren't they? And the elbows down, never mind the knees.
God, are they?
Yeah. The fucking lean angle on bikes these days, the rubber they're using these days is fucking phenomenal. They're getting the fucking shoulders down.
Fucking hell. Honestly, such a feeling. So dare I ask what happened here to fuck your leg up?
Oh, I had a fucking collision with a dump truck and then I broke my fucking fibula.
Did he pull out?
He came round too tight and I was going a bit quick and there was a lot of gravel on the road because he was backfilling a rice paddy to make a petrol station. Uh-huh. And there was just too much shit on the road. I went in on the right hand and he lost the front.
And, did he hit the truck?
I hit the truck. I can't remember the impact, but I broke my femur, but I'm severing my main artery as well, so...
Jesus.
I came to and torn came. If I could have got to a hospital quick enough to put me artery back together, I wouldn't have lost my leg.
You lost the leg?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Oh, that would do it.
But, we all know the fucking... We all know the consequences of riding in a third world country. You know, you're never going to get to a fucking... If you have a serious accident, you're never going to get to an hospital quick enough.
Yeah.
Well, you might get to an hospital, but the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't be able to do anything for you.
Yeah.
I had to go all the way to Manila. The time I got there, my leg had died.
Really?
Like I said, it's only four hours is the most you can go without circulation in a limb.
I see.
And it took me about 12 hours from accident to there. They did put the artery back together, but my leg was fucking fucked.
Quite lucky you didn't lose enough blood to kill you.
I was lucky. I'm just lucky I'm still here. That's what I'm saying. I'm not dirty on it. It's like I say, I'm still fucking here.
Yeah.
And we all know the risks riding in the Philippines on a bike. We know the risks.
Yeah.
We still do it. So you can't get pissed off when something happens, can you?
Not really. No, not really. I mean, you don't have to be upset about it, but. No.
Five of my mates have died over here on bikes. Okay. And they just couldn't get to an hospital quick enough. If they had a gun, they'd have been alright, probably.
That is a very high number.
Well, I know a lot of people who ride bikes.
You do, don't you?
Well, that's what brought me over here. I was living in Vietnam and one of my mates was living here and he said, you want to come over here and get fucking big bikes easier?
I'm Pete. That's me.
Nice to meet you, buddy.
You
good, right? Mate. Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Lovely spot you got here, dude.
Cheers, mate.
How long have you been over here, man? Thank you very much. Very kind.
Since 2007.
All right. Nice.
2007. How was your Tagalog? Can you get by? Can you do the basics?
I can be polite, and I understand more than I can speak. I understand a fair bit of it if they're not going for it.
Yeah.
But fucking hell, I tried to learn it. As soon as you start trying to talk Tagalog, they just laugh their fucking heads off and speak English to you.
Yeah, right.
Because everyone speaks English. Especially in business or anything like that. Any bars, restaurants, everyone speaks English. It's only in the provinces you might struggle. But even then, somebody will pop up who speaks English.
Yeah.
You could be in the middle of the fucking jungle and somebody will pop out speaking somewhere and you speak English and about 2 minutes later and they'll fetch somebody who speaks English. You know what I mean?
Right. You say you were living in Vietnam before this?
Yeah.
How long were you there?
3 years.
What's the big appeal with Southeast Asia?
Well, I was working there. I was oil and gas when I was working. So I was on the drilling side of oil and gas, so I was fucking everywhere. But if I'm going to live somewhere, it's got to be fucking Southeast Asia, mate. It's fucking only the best place to live.
What's the appeal? Why do you love it so much?
The fucking climate's great. And mostly when I was single then, the fucking women. The women are fucking awesome. You know what I mean? If you're traveling the world on your job, you're seeing a lot of different cultures, different fucking people. You can't beat Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Just can't beat it.
That's nice, man. It's nice to be able to sort of put your flag on the ground when you find a good spot, isn't it?
Yeah. Kazakhstan come close, but it's fucking shit country. And it's fucking freezing. Cold in the winter. It's 40 degrees in the summer and 40 below in the winter.
Right. 40 below?
Yeah.
Wow. Fuck that.
No, Middle East, you don't want to fucking settle there. Nah.
And what was... Why not England?
I went to Spain after I left England. I stayed in Spain for about 6 years.
Yeah.
But I was married to an English bird then. They was charging me 52% tax. I was out of the country for fucking 6 months of the year. I was getting no tax breaks. I was bringing foreign money in. So I was boosting the economy. And I was still getting 52% tax. Wow. And then all the laws and regulations and cameras and everything and all that.
Yeah, I knew you'd say
so
that.
I just went, fuck this.
Yeah. Because you can do anything here. You know?
As long as you fly below the radar here, and you do fucking out your life.
Yeah.
As long as you're not fucking gun running or drug dealing, you're good.
Did you know you'd stay here when you moved in?
No. I only came for a look. I was living in Vietnam. The next job was somewhere else. I can't remember. Maybe China or something. And my mate says, come and have a look. And then I thought, when the job finished in Vietnam, I thought, fuck it, I'm going to come and live here. So I just came and lived here. I was working elsewhere, but I thought, you've got to fly me somewhere. May as well fly me back here. And then I just never fucking left. Met her and just never left.
What about work now? You gave up the oil and gas thing?
Yeah, I've retired. I retired 8 years ago.
Nice, good lifestyle.
Yeah.
Hey, you've built a lovely little place.
Yeah.
It's great.
This especially, we like a bar, don't we?
Oh,
we all like a bar, mate.
Yeah.
If there ain't a bar, we're not fucking staying there, are we? I keep out of Manila as much as I fucking can.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's a fucking shit hole.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Well, there's parts of Manila that's not a shit hole. What's it called? Makati's nice, Greenbelt.
Sort of, we're in Makati, it's not that nice.
No. Well, we were on one road of it, so it might be better elsewhere.
Yeah. We slagged off Manila for a bit, but since that was essentially all of episode one, I'm going to skip that bit. He told us where to go on bikes, locally.
Over the mountain, down the fucker, and it gets a little bit flat, and then there's a place called Mount Samat, which was the last stand of the American and Filipino forces against the Japs on the main island of Luzon. It was their last stand. They fought for about 4 months. I don't know how they lasted that long. And there's a memorial. Well worth a fucking ride up to that. And then you can either come back the same way, which I would do if you want to see all the greenery again, or if not, you can carry on to Dinalupian. Lovely ride.
Yeah. I'm definitely up for the jungle, man. That sounds great. That's what I've been craving, actually, in these past few days,
So go to Mount Samat and then come back the way you came.
Because we got delayed by 2 days by the storm, you know, so we're going to hire the bikes. We're sort of stuck in Manila two more days than we planned to be.
Yeah.
So both of us were like, right, we've got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the weather's supposed to be good tomorrow.
What are you drinking?
Rum and coconut water.
Oh. Could I trouble you for another beer? I don't think she told her.
Just bang your bell. I've trained her to the bell. It's like a fucking Belgian Malinois.
Could I have one as well, please?
If you shout it, they don't come. You just ding, they'll come.
A few beers later, and it was time to learn a bit more about this man who'd moved to the Philippines. I started to really like him. His swearing, his straight talking, his beer, which cost about $1 a bottle. I developed a mild man crush as Chris Isaac kicked in.
When you lived in Vietnam, when was it? How long ago?
Well, it was 2005.
Right,
till 2007.
Oh, there you go, perfect. I went to Vietnam in 2005, and then went back a few years ago, and fuck me, it was different. And my question is there any likelihood of that happening to the Philippines?
Well, yeah. I mean, things have changed, but the thing is with here, things haven't changed drastically because they don't knock the fuck out of the tourist trade. They've not got the government's that corrupt, they haven't got the fucking shit together about doing a proper campaign about tourism, and the places that have, like Boracay, Palawan. Well, yeah, when, first time I went to Palawan or Boracay, it was fucking just like this beach. It was cheap as fuck. Now you've got to fucking be a millionaire to go and fucking have a weekend there, you know what I mean? And they're taking the piss with the fucking prices, just taking the piss. So them places have changed, but the majority, 80% of the Philippines, haven't fucking changed at all.
Right. And a lot of that's down to the government not pushing it.
Yeah. It's just that much corruption. Everybody's trying to fucking screw everybody. Nothing gets fucking done properly, you know what I mean?
You think you'll stay for a long time, forever?
I'm never moving anywhere now. Right. This is me. Unless some daft Korean comes and fucking offers me a shitload of money. And then I might go somewhere else, but I mean, I've fucking been a lot of places. I've travelled the world. I've lived in about 42 different countries.
Oh, really?
And I choose here.
Yeah.
So that's got to tell you something.
Yeah, it sure does.
I mean, you're running out of fucking nice places to go to. If I sold this place, I might go somewhere else, but it'd be in the Philippines. The only reason I chucked this place is because when I was working, I had to be close to an airport to get out to work. And I tried living on these fucking islands, but you spend more time in Manila because the storm's coming, you got to get out.
Have you?
Well, you got to get out because you can't get off the fucking island.
Yeah.
Otherwise. And then when you fly in, there might be a storm, so you can't go to where you want to go. I was spending too much time in Manila.
Oh, I see why I did that. But now you fly out of Clark, do you?
You fly out of Clark, but still, Clark might close down, or you might not be from here to Clark's 2 hours. You might not be able to get there in a serious fucking storm. There's a lot of flooding. But it's closer than being on an island. And it's, you see these beautiful tropical fucking islands, right? And they are beautiful and they are tropical, and there's palm trees and fucking everything and coconuts and everything you think it is going to be. But you might be the only cunt there. You know
that
what I mean?
That sounds
all right. Off the middle of the traffic, that sounds great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're the only foreigner in the village, and it gets fucking old quick. You need to react. The Filipinos are nice people, but their fucking culture is totally different to ours. You can spend a bit of time with them, but you need to talk to your own kind.
Yeah, right. What about that here? Have you got any expats living around?
Shitloads of expats around here.
Is there?
Shitloads. Right now, there must be about 60 expats. All from different places.
Is it fairly easy to move here? I mean, I guess, did you do it by virtue of marrying, or are you able to do it without that?
Well, if you're coming in and you want to stay in, you can come in as a tourist, and you get a 30-day visa as a tourist, but you can extend it. You can extend it up to 3 years. So you can stay for 3 years on a tourist visa without leaving.
Wow. So we could stay for 3 years, minus that. 6 days.
You just have to keep extending. First,
yeah,
you extend for now. It's about $3,600 for 2 months.
That's about $60.
And you have to.
Does that mean you have to keep going back to police station or an office every couple of months?
There's one in every major town. There's one in fucking Alangapo. You just go in, fill the form in, off you trot. They'll give you another 2 months, and you can do two months for 3 years. And you ain't got to fuck off.
You got a marriage proposal the other day, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
So, you know, if you do need to go past the 3 years, it's not a problem.
She started with the I'm a scavenger line, can you give me some money? To which I said, no, mate, I just want a fucking cup of coffee. And then she goes, have you got a wife? Because I've not got a husband.
You'll get that everywhere you go,
no,
mate.
No, you're fine, thanks.
Do you still get proposals?
I favour a few more teeth than she had.
You're so choosy.
I know, mate.
The love of a good woman.
This country is no different to any other country. You got to fucking watch yourselves. There's decent women out there, and there's women that'll just fucking pull your pants off of your head and nick all your money, you know what I mean? There's a band on next door later on. If it don't get busy in here, we'll fucking have a walk over there.
Oh, nice, man. We're on for a night, I think, mate.
Right, I feel so good right now, honestly.
We need this.
We do. We need it, and dare I say the word deserve. I think we deserve it.
Mate. Yeah.
You're not running no women, were you? On your, think you picked one up on your travels?
Didn't pick one up.
You're doing it all wrong. I'm going to have to sort you boys right out.
I'd have to lose the bag if I got a woman. I just don't think there's enough room.
Yeah, they travel light.
What would you change about the Philippines if you were Prime Minister tomorrow or President tomorrow?
I'd stop all the fucking jeepneys and trikes.
I read today that they're phasing them out, aren't they? Isn't that one of their...
Well, they've been trying that for years. Right. You see, it's 6 and 2/3, right? 1 minute, some things fucking benefit you as a foreigner. And other things is a pain in the ass. But if you live it, you've just got to get down and fucking dirty with it and just fucking crack on. You can't say, oh, in England it was like this, or in America it was like that. It's the fucking Philippines, man. And you either get your head around it and deal with it and fucking chill the fuck out, or you don't come.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a different fucking game. But pussy-wise, fucking hell, man, it's fucking... It's everywhere. I had to get a steady bird, my cock was going to fall off. But I'd been at it for a long, long time, you know. I'd been fucking travelling around. I'd not had a base for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's the life of oil and gas work, isn't it?
Yeah.
How'd you get into that, man? What's the route into that?
I'm a welder by trade. Right. And a friend of mine back in the UK, he was working for a Canadian company called Kentons. And they started off in the UK drilling for coal seams around Yorkshire. And that's how he got on with it. And then he said to me one day, he says, we need a fucking welder, because I could weld pressure. And then I could weld pressure vessels and pressure pipes.
Okay.
I said to me, mate, fuck this welding. I want to get into the drilling side of it. Because the next job was going to be in Portugal. So I wanted to fucking travel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he was a Canadian driller at the time, and I got in his office. He said, why do you want to be a roughneck, eh? And I had this spiel, right, that I was going to tell him, you know, well, I think I'll be good for your rig and I can do it, you know, and all that bollocks. So I did my spiel, and he didn't look up, he just fucking writing away. And then he went, he said, I'll tell you something, boy. He says, this fucking job will only get you two things. I says, what's that, sir? He goes, a Rolex and a divorce. He says, you start on Monday, but you're still doing all the fucking welding. And I went, all right. And excellent. That's how I got into being and then I started as a roughneck and worked my way up the ladder.
Right.
I did 4 years on land rigs all over Europe, but then I was a consultant. So for the last 10 years of my career, I was just consulting.
Well, that must be good money.
Yeah, it was.
And then I presume you put the money into this baby?
Some of it.
And the rest of it?
Still in my bank.
I think your life's been quite good, don't you?
I ain't complaining. I'm still here.
I love meeting expats all over the world. I don't know.
There's always a sense of adventure, isn't there?
Yeah, and the common thread is always... I just didn't fit it in. You know, it didn't really work for me.
Yeah.
I tried.
Well, you get to a say... It's not nice to say, but it's fucking true, right? Once you start working overseas or you start travelling the world, even when I started working in Europe, well, even when I started working all over England, you come home and you start to have nothing in common with the people that you've grew up with.
Yeah.
And then you start working overseas and they go, oh, where you been? And you tell them, and they either think you're bullshitting or you're fucking bragging or they're jealous. So in the end, you just keep your fucking mouth closed. And then as time goes on, the further you go, the bigger the gap.
Yeah.
And you've got nothing in common with any fucker.
Yeah.
So then you...
Apart from other people that are similar to you.
Well, there you are.
Knocking about the world.
So that's when you fucking start living in places where people have travelled the world and you've got something in common with them. So you can sit at a fucking bar and have a bullshit. And that's what brought me here. Most of the guys here, they've been there, done that and got the fucking T-shirt twice. They've all been around. So when you've got something in common, I've got nothing in common with anybody in in my old village.
Do you have family back there still?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you go back regularly or not?
I go back. I try and get back every 2 years.
Is it Nottingham? Near Nottingham.
Mansfield is about 16 miles away from Nottingham, more north. And then my parents live in a small mining, what used to be a mining community, no more fucking coal now, as you know. My mum and dad still live there.
Oh yeah.
My kids are there. My fucking all my family's there. But I've been at it. I've been out for fucking a long time.
Kids to an English wife then?
Yeah, well,
first
couple,
time?
Couple.
I think I can see
the
your,
fucking the tall pushy was right. You get a Rolex and a fucking divorce. But you get like
three, no wonder.
Three divorces.
He had a little crystal ball there, didn't he?
You use you, well, see, when you're young, you can. It don't matter. You can fucking lose an house. You can lose a fucking. You, and you're young enough to fuck it. I'll make it back in 2 years.
Yeah.
It don't matter. But the older you get, the less working life you've got. If you get crippled when you're fucking 40, it's fucking hard to make that back, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I've lost a few. I lost a fucking nice villa in Spain. That fucking...
Oh, really?
That done me head in a bit.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, I have got no regrets. Fucking life's life, innit? You know what I mean?
At this point, we heard some distant karaoke, almost arguing with his excellent bar music. Something we'd heard in absolutely every town we'd driven through. The Filipinos are absolutely obsessed with karaoke.
They do like a bit of karaoke.
I fucking hate it. It's barred, oh, it's barred from this bar.
Quite right.
Yeah, it's barred.
I don't want to be entertained by someone that's a fucking amateur.
Well, I mean, they'll hire these fucking karaoke machines and they hire them for 24 hours. And they use them for 24 hours. Even if no one's fucking singing, it's on. And all you can hear is the beat. The bass is so far from... You can't regulate it. And they'll fucking wail and scream all fucking night long. None of them can sing, you know what I mean? Every now and again we have an open mic here. We'll have a do on. We'll get a fucking DJ in, open mic. But if you're shit, I told them, if he's shit, turn the fucker right down.
Yeah, chuck him in the pool.
Yeah. But we used to have a girl who used to work for us, and she was fucking awesome. And her mate, she was even better. And them two alone would just sing all night, and people would listen to them, you know. It's a little bit quiet at the moment because of the fucking storm and the rain. Not many people want to venture out when they don't know whether they might not be able to get back, you know.
Time went by, we had another beer and another pee, and we talked about the Japanese being in the Philippines. So if you remember from part one, the Japanese invaded the Philippines and they invaded a lot of land in and around Asia while they could during World War II. They managed to get right into the Philippines, but it was quite short-lived. The Americans essentially got them out, and of course the Filipinos themselves pushed the Japanese out of the, 7,000 islands that make up the Philippines. And that was great. Years after they left, though, it was discovered that a Japanese man, was still, despite the Japanese leaving the Philippines, a Japanese soldier was still there many years after they left. I believe it was something like 35 years. We talk about that here.
I mean,
do you hear about that bloke that was living in the jungle years afterwards?
Well, that's just, if you go to Manila and go down Batangas, there's a little island called, well, it's a fair-sized island, but it's not big, called Mindoro.
Yeah.
That's a nice ride all around Mindoro, beautiful. But if there's a little island just off of Mindoro, and that's where that Jap was. I think he was here for about 35 years after the war.
I think they had to parade like members of his family. And
what happened with him, they was giving him leaflets, the war is over, get fucked. He wouldn't come out. He was killing fucking carabaos and fucking killing local people and still wouldn't give up. And then anyway, they had this Japanese young Japanese tourist took it on himself to try and find him, and he did find him. And he says, look, the war's over. And he went, I won't give up until my fucking superior comes and tells me.
Yeah.
So he went back to Japan. Luckily, the cunt was still alive. And he shipped him out.
Got a job for you.
And he
a fucking laugh.
And he says, it's...
Oh, sorry, mate, I left you here. Come on, it's fine.
No, it's fine now. By the way, you've wasted a decade.
Yes.
So he came out of the jungle, and Marcos pardoned him. But that guy...
Who's Marcos?
He was the president at the time. Ferdinand Marcos was the first he's one of the most corrupt presidents. He was the dictator of the Philippines, Marcos. His son's in power right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Marcos robbed the Philippines, billions and billions and billions, and his fucking son's in power right now.
How's that going down? That can't be
pretty
going
fucking
down.
Good, actually. He's doing a better job than Duterte. Yeah. Duterte was fucking killing every country.
Yeah, he was the anti-drug guy, wasn't he?
Where's he now? What happened to him?
He's still in the Philippines, but he only had one term. They voted him out. All he was doing, he said it was the war on drugs. Was it, fuck? It was the war on, I'm running the drug trade, and if anybody crosses me, I'll fucking kill you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's
right. I'd never actually occurred to me. I didn't realise that. Wow. So he's like mafia.
Well, he actually said, here's the crack. He actually said, if you know a drug dealer, you can kill him, and I'll pardon you. So here's the crack, right? You owe me a lot of money.
I've only had three beers.
I know that. But you owe me a lot of money, so you go and shoot me, and then say I was a drug dealer.
Yeah, easy, isn't it?
That's fucking it. And that a shitload of that was going on in Manila.
I mean, that's knocking on civil war at that point.
There was thousands a day getting fucking shot.
Really? Wow.
The morgues couldn't keep up with it. And all it was, Shibu, methamphetamine, he was controlling that. His son got fucking captured with millions and millions of pesos worth of fucking drugs. While he was in... Yeah, and nothing happened to him, you know what I mean? He was just saying, I'm controlling it. Don't fuck with me. I'm going to be the boy.
That would drive me insane.
He was trying to do what Marcos used to do. Marcos was in power in the Philippines for about 20 years. He said, fuck the elections. And he rigged them all, whatever they were. And then he declared martial law, and fucking 9 years he was in power without even an election.
Oh, he didn't even bother faking it.
Pretty fuck. Imelda Marcos, they used to fly into the US and they could say, I want to see the president. Okay, straight a fucking way.
Oh my God, Imelda Marcos is that guy's wife.
Yeah.
The shoe lady.
It never occurred to me.
That was her thing.
The only reason he was allowing him to do that was because America at the time had about 9 or 10 major massive bases here. Clark, where you fly into now, that was massive air base. He was bombing Vietnam out of that air base with the B-52s. And Clark and SBMA down here was the second largest naval base outside of fucking the US, and it's deep as fuck, naturally deep, so you can get all your aircraft carriers in, you can get all your subs in, and so that's why he had that much power over the US. It allowed him to do that.
Is there an element of Filipinos that would have been upset about America using it as an airbase to go in?
Well, that's eventually what happened. Marcus got overthrown because of his corruption. And he had to fuck off to Hawaii.
The military,
and that's where he died. And then the people power got in. But after that, when Marcos, if you talk to anybody that was living when Marcos was in power, what they'll tell you is, all right, yeah, he was a dictator. Yes, but hospitals were good, roads were good, everything was good, and you only paid one country. Somebody was rattling you down, you only paid him once. Now you don't know who you're paying, and that could, corruption's... He kept a lid on it.
The monsoon kicked back in quite loudly, and we continued to chat.
When I first came here, there was no bars. This road was a fucking dirt track.
Really?
But the beach here is fucking phenomenal.
Is it?
The diving's awesome. Islands are fucking spectacular. It's awesome.
Can we take a boat ride to the islands?
Yeah, we'll sort that out if you want.
Great.
Think we struck gold, boy?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Just have a word with our lass, she'll sort all the boating out if you want to go do that. There's the islands and then these coves that you can't get to unless you walk or you go by boat. You can't ride there or no roads. And I hope it just stays like it is.
I was going to ask you that actually. So, earlier you were talking about how they don't push tourism, they're really attached to how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
Would you like it to change?
Well, it is going to change. Well, I bought this land in 2010. And then we had to clear it, built the wall, then had to backfill it because it flooded. And then we We started building in 2012, built that house and my house back there at the same time. And then this is just, this is, as I stopped work, we just, this is what we did. Mm. We've just been adding on COVID stopped us, because I'm not going to chuck into anything if it's not earning anything. So anything that we did is from what we got earned, not out of my pocket. And yeah, I mean, this bar's only been open 2 years.
Right.
So I like it as it is.
Yeah.
But the change I've seen over the last 10 years, another 10 years, fuck me, we won't recognise this place, man.
Really?
You'll see what I mean when you go out there on a fucking boat. It's fucking lovely. The islands, and then you're looking back on the mountain. It's fucking lovely.
Huh.
And it won't be like this in another 10 years. It'll be fucking touristy as fuck. It's changing quick.
A few beers later, and it was finally time to confess my man crush, in a masculine way.
Is it wrong that I wouldn't fuck with you? I just don't think I'd fuck with you.
I'm a fucking amicable fucking person, mate. I'm fucking all right, but I can hold my own.
Yeah.
I've retired from that shit anyway. You gotta be aware of our lass. She's packing the pistol, mate.
Oh yeah.
Is she?
You got to do that around here, have you?
Nah, not really.
Nah.
We might have to rethink our ride out without paying rule.
Yeah. Is my scooter faster than the dog?
No. Nothing's faster than him.
So my man crush continued until I found out that this man was in fact a huge racist. That was an awful part of the conversation, which I've thought about playing, and I've made a decision not to play that part. We talked about his time in working in Africa, and I've travelled more of Africa than he has. But we started the conversation quite jovially, and then it turned out that he had some, frankly, abhorrent racist views, which I could play you, but it's really dark and just actually quite horrible, some of the things he said. And I don't really want to offend people. I don't really have that message in my podcast. I like to make things that are interesting and funny and not hurtful. So I'm choosing not to play the next part, but I do want to let you know that this guy, who I was, as I say, having a bit of a man crush on, that soon wore off when he told me some of his views, and they were just fucking awful, to be honest with you. So that was a sobering moment, and Pete and I looked at each other and thought, okay, maybe we should perhaps take a walk for a moment. And when we came back, to the bar, like, it wasn't an argument, but it was really just quite unsettling listening to his views. Let's just say I fell out of love with this man. But I do have to admit that I do still like him. It is possible, after all, for you to not agree with everything someone says and to listen to some of their viewpoints, but generally, as a person, think that they're still a good person. And I do think that he's a good person. One person that definitely thinks he's a good person is his Filipino wife, who has to do his nails, apparently. So I'll leave you with that part. We talk personal hygiene in a bar in the Philippines.
You've got to do his nails, apparently.
Yeah, you fucking...
I'm busy.
You're not now.
Not now, but it's already nice.
Look.
Can't do it. No.
I'm in danger of spearing myself.
I'm not even looking at it. No.
15 nails. It's not that hard.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Sorry to ruin your love life. I do my own nails.
She get pissed off the fuck if she don't do my nails.
Oh, yeah?
What
a special way of doing it.
It's a fucking divorce thing if I've got my nails cut and she ain't done them. I'm fucking telling you. Who's cut your fucking nails? Me, you lying bastard.
You never do it like that. They're too perfect. I do.
It's one of the perks.
Does.
Don't shower myself either. If I have a shower, she fucking showers me.
Oh, yeah?
Do you pluck your... Who?
No.
You don't do that?
No, she cuts them.
She's
like Edward Scissorhands, mate. I'll say I want my eyebrows, my nose, my ears... And she'll just fucking jump on me, straddle me, and go. Fucking hair flying everywhere.
Fucking hell.
Which is a bit rough sometimes.
Did she do your head?
No, I do my head.
Sometimes when you miss
something. She does me bollocks.
You get the bits, that, yeah. The miss bits.
Yeah, the miss bits.
She does me bollocks and me stump, don't you, babe?
Yeah.
And what?
Me bollocks and me stump. Shaves.
Oh, your stump. Does your stump grow hair?
Of course it does. It's your fucking leg.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you don't, if you, when you've got a socket like that, it's held on by suction. So if hair grows.
Oh, you fuck get, up the vacuum.
Get, yeah. If hair grows, you get air inside your ear, and it don't get a good seal. But you can't shave it, because if you shave it, when the air comes out, it tries to go back in.
Right.
So you need to clip it. So she's a fucking master at it. So while she's here, she does me bollocks and everything else at the same time.
So what do you do? Do you help her out with her eyelashes or eyebrows?
Fuck off.
Hey, you've got to be a modern man. You've got to look after the lady.
Listen, we're in the fucking Philippines, bro. If I want to be a modern man, I'll fuck off back to the UK.
Is he a lovable man?
Lovable?
Yeah. Love.
You know what? No. You know what put me onto it? She was the only cook with gold. You never see a fucking Filipina with gold on her fucking fingers.
The most romantic thing I've ever heard. She was the only cunt with gold. And they say romance is dead.
Right, we've done all right, haven't we?
What a wonderful night we had, and later on that evening I should mention that we went out to his neighbour's bar, or another expat, this one from America, who we had a great old time. Pete played the drums in a band, we played lots of pool and had a wonderful time. I think it's worth mentioning, and this is fairly common in Southeast Asia, that a lot of the expats that lived there, despite being in their 50s and 60s, had girlfriends in their 20s and 30s. And there was one guy who was clearly 70-something and his girlfriend was about, I don't know, 25. And you just think, okay, look, I understand this morally complex symbiotic relationship, but I don't have to be okay with it. And that happened a few times. I totally understand why anyone would want to move to the Philippines. I totally understand it. And I totally understand if you didn't fit in at home, wherever that may be, why the Philippines is a great place to go. It's escapism to the max. You can do anything. There are, for example, no occasions that we could have been pulled over by the police. There was one time on motorbikes and a policeman stood out in the road and tried to flag us down, but we'd already been warned, don't stop, just keep going, because at the end of the day, all they're going to do is bribe you for some money, and they don't have cars. So, you know, to sort of give you a flavour of how lawless the Philippines can be, you're going to get away with any driving manoeuvre on any vehicle that you want, whenever you want. And I get why that sort of escapism appeals to a lot of people. And I like the Philippines. I don't think personally I'd want to live there. But the only thing I've found a bit questionable is those morally complex symbiotic relationships between older men and younger Filipino girls. I get it. On both sides, I understand it. But I did find there was quite often a lack of respect there. I felt like the expats didn't really appreciate that they were people, living, breathing people with emotions and considerations. And I might be wrong, but I from the brief glimpses that I quite often saw with those relationships, it didn't seem particularly authentic, frankly. We did stay at the one-legged man's bar. Not for his bar, but his accommodation, his little huts in the jungle. We stayed there for a few days and we used it as a base, and we did explore a lot, actually. We took the motorbikes out, explored the amazing, exceptional beach locally, and also went deep into the jungle past some monkeys to look at that memorial that actually he talked about. He talked there about the memorial to the Americans that were lost in World War II, killed brutally by the Japanese. That memorial is a giant cross. It's probably 100 men high, and is a really interesting and quite poignant place to learn more about what the Japanese did in that part of the world during World War II, until, of course, they were ousted by the Americans and Filipinos. So a really good time. I think I can speak for Pete by saying we really enjoyed being out of traffic and in jungle and all of the adventures that that brings. A few days later, we were headed back to Manila and we made an effort to stop quite often in little towns, usually by rivers, and have a break from the motorbikes and get chatting to the locals. Pete and I both had some packets of instant noodles on our bike and on our bikes, and well, this guy deserved them. Is there anything I need to know about Filipino people?
No, you know, the Filipino people is always happy. In any kind of situation, the Filipino people can adjust in any situation. Always happy and very friendly. Look at us. Me, yeah.
Yeah, everyone does seem very friendly.
Yes. But be careful on the... Not every person is like us. Someone will, you know, rob you when you get in the other cities, like Manila. Be careful over there. There's so much on somewhere around there. There's
right, but in the countryside,
criminal. There's also criminal here. But
okay,
there's many good people here around our country.
Do you work every day?
Yes, I'm a security guard.
You're a security guard.
Yeah.
12-hour shift.
No, 8 to 5.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. But our salary is very, you know, $10 a day.
$10 a day?
Yeah.
For being a security guard?
Yeah. Very difficult, man. Right?
Yeah, it's difficult.
500 pesos is, I think it's $9 something, but...
Do you get taxed as well on that? Is that after tax?
Yes, we get tax, we got our SSS, you know, government paying some taxes. That's why your salary, it's high, man, but surviving.
Well, you've done well, my friend. You've got a lovely little place with all your family.
Yeah.
It's a lovely little friendly town next to a river.
Yes, yes.
And
sometimes we go fishing here.
Oh, you can get fish out of here.
Especially when after the flood, you know, the fish pond, their fish is sometimes going in the river because of the flood. So we're going fishing.
I see.
Yeah. Sometimes we get more fish there, but now...
No fish today?
Yeah, no fish today.
Are you working tomorrow as a security guard?
No, not today? It's my day off.
Perfect.
Actually, today is my birthday. No.
It's his birthday, Pete!
Thank you, man.
Are you 35 today?
Yes, I'm 35 today.
Wow, 35. What are we going to do?
Simple life, man.
Okay, I'm going to get you a present. Okay, I've got something for you.
Oh, man, thank you, dude.
Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday,
man. Thank you, man.
This one's from him.
Oh, yeah.
And this one's from me.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you, man. Yeah, man.
Have a good birthday.
Enjoy, buddy.
Should we get the fuck out of here?
Yeah. I need food and beer.
Alas, the end is nigh. Here I am in a restaurant in Manila. The motorbike trip is over. We gave the motorbikes back yesterday. And I have a question for you, Peter.
What's that, mate?
Here in the Philippines, many people, they come... They land in Manila, they immediately change planes, and they go to a bounty advert style island, of which there are many. There's one in particular where lots of people go. If you rewrote the trip, didn't get stuck in Manila in the monsoon, managed to get out of here, get onto the bounty island, and hang out for a week in the sunshine, there'd be no litter on the beach because it would be cleaned up. The food would be much better than what we've experienced because there's far more tourists. If you could rerun the trip, would you A, do what you've done involving noise, dogs, frustration, traffic and moments of beauty, or B, say, nah, you're alright, I'll just pick the Bounty Island, thanks very much, and rerun it that way?
How are we getting to the Bounty Island?
You would get a nice small plane Yeah.
Well, then in that case, Vinny, I'm going to say life's about the journey and not the destination, yeah? So I'd go for option A. I think, yeah, probably would have managed our expectations a bit more in regards to what we could have seen. We might have changed our route. We might have got a ferry over to a closest that island called Mindoro to go south rather than north. But I think all in all, it's the adventure that I was after. I don't know about you. And all of that encompasses within it. So the fucking traffic, the dogs, the litter. That makes the moments of beauty ever more beautiful. And yeah, I think I'd do option A.
So, the adventure.
Yeah, man.
It does make the moments of when you finally arrive on a beach and have a beer a little bit more special. Because if you did that all week, I just feel like
I get really bored. I get really bored just sat on the beach for 2 weeks. I've got to have some sort of engine based fun.
Yeah.
I've got to knock around. I've got to see shit. And within that, I'm in a country like this. I think we both expected a bit more ubiquitous beauty, but that was naive because that's the picture postcard bounty advert is designed for Western tourists.
Yeah.
And that's why the beaches are clean. That's why there's less pollution, because they have to. But
yeah. And we know that those places exist, but we didn't see any of them.
It's a really poor country, so obviously the bits in between those bounty adverts are going to be shit.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's a devastatingly poor country, far more than, well, certainly than I expected. Is it poorer than you thought?
I didn't really know. I didn't really give it much thought, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm glad that if we rerun this experiment, you would choose the adventure.
What about you? I'll turn the question back at you. Because there was a moment on day one of the bikes or two of the bikes. We were standing outside of McDonald's. We might have touched on it previously in the podcast that you had a bit of a wobble.
Yeah.
And I think you were ready to go, fuck this, this is shit. Bah. You know.
Yeah, because that's how I talk.
I think they know that, mate.
Yeah, I would rerun the adventure. I would not spend all my time on a richy glitzy island full of people that aren't adventurers. However, I think now I know what I know, and now having looked at the map, and perhaps we should have done this before, I would have got some form of a boat out of Manila to either an island or a peninsula, to just not have to deal with what was actually days of traffic to get out of it.
Well,
wasn't it
was 4 days, 2 in and 2 out, wasn't it, basically?
Yeah, it took 2 days to leave Manila and 2 days to get back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, now I know that, I would say, I would echo what everyone always says, which is incredibly boring and predictable, don't spend any time in Manila because it's shit. But I would also add, get out, either on a plane, or you can still do adventure, but take your motorbikes on a ferry and pick up elsewhere. Then you avoid all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, you live and you learn.
You do, mate, yeah. We shan't be coming back here, will we?
I don't think so.
We've done it. We ticked it off. Next.
Next. I'm off to Taiwan. You're off to England to go back to work. Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to keep the cogs of commerce turning. Someone's got to do it, mate.
We do. And I'll leave it to you. See you later. Thanks for being a lovely travel partner and a good friend and having a good temperament.
Oh, thanks for having me along, mate. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast, the second part of the Philippines. Next up, you might have just heard there, yes, I'm on my way to country 95, that is Taiwan. I will do a podcast from there. That'll be out soonish. Got a few things to do first. If you want to learn more about this podcast, if you want your own podcast, I'm getting right into this producing stuff now, then just visit vinnywhite.co.uk and get in touch, and I'll be able to work with you. Also, if you want to donate to a couple of coffees or whatever to help host this podcast, you can make a donation at vinnywhite.co.uk as well. My name's Vinny. I'm on a quest to get to 100 countries. That was country 94. Next up, country 95. That will be Taiwan in your feed soon. Big love.